Morning, everyone, on a Wednesday. As usual, a lot going on. 13 days until Election Day. The last debate will be tomorrow night. President Trump, to lead off our big three, walked out of his 60 Minutes taping with Leslie Stahl. He tweeted that the interview was fake and biased. Also in the big three, Governor Cuomo urges New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Connecticut residents to avoid non-essential travel to New York and vice versa. Well, those three states now qualify to be added to the quarantine list, but the governor says that's not really practical. And rounding out the big three, an important story, a poll of New York City transit workers reveals that 1 in 4 had COVID. I mean, that's stunning. 25%. We're going to talk with the international president of the Transport Workers Union, John Samuelson, in just a moment. Now, a reminder that coming up at 8:20, it's your opportunity to phone in and win a Berman Riedel 2020 t-shirt, but you have to come up with a clever campaign slogan for us, and you got to be good on the phone because I got some clever ones emailed to me, so yeah, you can email us, you can tweet us, at LenMichaelWR. You've been getting them too, right, Michael?
Oh, yeah, some of them are really good, I got to say. So you guys got to be good on the phone calls.
So the phone call is 800-321-0710. We'll do that at 8:20 to win a t-shirt. But let's get to the big story here. And we welcome in John Samuelson. He's the international president of the Transport Workers Union. John, I saw the story yesterday. First of all, good morning. And I saw the story yesterday about 1 in 4 MTA workers with COVID. Now, the MTA will rebut and say, well, that was kind of a poll, wasn't really a real scientific survey. But still, the numbers are stunning, John. What did you make of it?
Well, the numbers are just a reassertion of the fact that there is a massive amount of MTA workers and New York City transit workers in particular that were exposed to and infected by COVID-19. And that's a fact. So there can be a debate about what the numbers actually are, but even the MTA would not debate the fact that this happened.
Hey, John, we're kind of scared here about a second wave of this pandemic. Should New York get hit, the city get hit by a second wave, will your workers feel comfortable going to work, or will we have to shut down the transportation system again?
Well, certainly that's an element of the study, and it's, there is a high level of concern, even anxiety among transit workers regarding COVID-19 in the system. Nearly all transit workers know somebody who has perished. 130 MTA workers died of COVID-19 in the line of duty during the first wave, and it's a huge concern. So the system right now is in a far better state to fend off a mass COVID-19 infection as opposed to back in March. So lessons have been learned in terms of mitigating against massive exposure. Both in terms of masks and PPE for workers, but also in terms of the obligation for riders who enter the system to wear masks, and also in terms of workplace cleanliness and the cleanliness on buses and trains, et cetera. And so lessons have been learned, and hopefully we can avoid a mass catastrophe.
Well, Johnny just brought up some good information. Riders are being told to wear masks. I know your workers are wearing masks. I know they're deep cleaning the subways. They shut the subway down overnight until 5 a.m. And even with all of these precautions, we still have an outbreak amongst MTA workers. How do you explain that?
Well, the study was done and it focused on the first outbreak. So we're not talking about a current outbreak among MTA workers. And the outbreak, which occurred in the spring, COVID-19, we've never seen the likes of it before. So, and it's been well publicized about the tribulations which New York City transit workers went through in the spring. And we have absolutely no intention of going through anything like that again. We went into battles with the MTA over masks, for instance, and the union had to override an MTA instruction that transit workers not wear masks. So we forced them into this and just kind of blew them out of the water on their instruction that we not wear masks in the subway and bus system. And just on issues of workplace cleanliness, and we're still fighting some of these battles, and frankly, the MTA is working with us cooperatively now. The fights are done. I mean, people are dead. Workers are dead. So this is a new day. We don't expect that there's going to be workplace stoppages right now over COVID-19 related issues. We expect that there'll be cooperation, and we've received that cooperation by and large from the company.
Talking to John Samuelson, he's the international president of the Transit Workers Union. So, John, going forward, when at some point when we can put this COVID thing behind us, MTA is in a gigantic black hole of debt. How are you going to handle these negotiations where the city may have to lay off a lot of your workers?
Yeah, so you raised this with me the last time that I spoke on the show. And this study and this whole conversation, again, leads me back to my initial comments that the budgetary problems that the MTA is facing, and I realize that they're real, they're not going to be funded off the backs of our workforce. And for the very reasons that the NYU study concluded, we've already paid in blood. We've paid in blood. We're not going to do it. Society must come up with a way to fund this system that doesn't include just taking it out of the paychecks of this workforce. We're not going to do it. And you talk about a negotiation. There's not a negotiation. We have a contract, and we're not opening up that contract to concessions because there's a budgetary crisis. We're just not doing it. It's pretty
strong
simple.
Stuff. John, very yeah. strong. And now, do I take it from your earlier comments, you think the MTA is doing a better job for your workers with the COVID protections?
I do. You know, I would really hate to come on to your radio show and give the MTA a compliment. I would hate to do that. But the MTA is working cooperatively with the union. I do believe they are. That we're working to identify ways that we can decompress the system further, provide social distancing within areas of the system where passengers do not go right now, knowing that one of the elements that NYU identified as a spreader of the virus were in non-passenger areas. So when you walk into a swing room or a break room, transit workers prior to the pandemic would have been just right on top of one another, just talking about the day's events, talking about work. And this is a new day. That can no longer happen. There's got to be social distancing, not only on trains and buses, but within the workplace itself, whether we're humping rail in a system, laying rail in a system. I'm sure that's politically correct, politically incorrect to say in 2000.
Sounds better. No, but, it sounds better. Sounds better.
Yeah. So hey. whether we're laying rail in a system or you know, talking about the day's events in a swing room in Coney Island, it has to change. And social distancing is the way to do it. Decompression, cleanliness, masks so that we don't spread this to each other, and reasonable precautions. But we have to run this system, and New York City has to go forward. The economy has to get back going. And we're an integral part of it, and we realize we're just not going to be used as cannon fodder in any way. So, and we certainly ain't going to open up this contract to concessions.
Now we hear you on that front. Yeah, you got to fight
it. John,
going to be
really
a battle.
Strong stuff.
Thanks, John.
We want to hear more about the humping of the rail, but that's a whole other story.
Len.
Sorry. Oh, Len. John, Natalie, thanks, pal. Please. Good stuff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye. All right.
Hey, I'd like to have him as my union boss. He says they're not open up the contract on our backs.
That's it.
They're not going to do it on us.
God.
Yeesh. Yeah.
It's going to be strong interesting, stuff. Though, if the MTA has to go to them and say, look, we are so far in debt right now, we have to renegotiate the contract, and say, nope, not at all. And then there's a transit worker strike? Oh, my God. This city could slide back into the 70s before you know it.
Hopefully we don't get that far. All right, coming up, your chance to win a Berman Riedel 2020 t-shirt, but you need to come up with a clever slogan for our bogus campaign. Just call us 800-321-0710. We'll be right back.
All right, it's the moment you guys live for in the morning. It's our slogan contest at 820 right here now. So Len and I have a t-shirt out. It's called Berman Riedel 2020. That'll put out that it's Berman first, not Riedel Berman. Or actually, the t-shirt that would be most valuable is Bartlett Riedel or Riedel Bartlett 2020. But it's Berman Riedel 2020. You guys can win this t-shirt, okay, by calling us up, 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. You got to come up with a campaign slogan for us. Now, this is going to be tough with the callers today because, Len, you and I have gotten some very clever emails.
Yes.
From listeners who have some really good slogans. So we're going to go to the phones first to see what you guys have come up with off the top of your heads calling in But it's got to be good because we have some really good ones in our emails. All right, so let's start off with Donald in Comac. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning.
Okay, go. Donald, now's your chance.
Go.
Sorry. Michael and Len, as dependable to banter on the radio from 6 to 10 as the ticking of old Big Ben. Throw in the gnat, who often mediates the provocative spat.
Little wordy.
No.
Not quite Tipper Canoe and Tyler, too, but...
Well, no. Donald, stay on the line. I think that was very well crafted. You got all... It scans very well. Every rhyme is a true rhyme. So stay on the line, Donald. I like that one. I have to say I like that one.
All right, Jen on Long Island. Hey, Jen.
Hey, good morning, boys. My slogan is, vote for Michael, vote for Len, let's bring fun times back again.
Ooh,
not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
That's not bad.
All right, Jen. Hang on.
Stay on the line. Stay on the line. How about Joe from Flagstaff, Arizona? Don't forget Pomona. He's got another album for us. Brace yourself, Len. How are you, Joe?
CNN Lynn, where in the hell is my den? Went to the mailbox and I'm lost again. Just like Biden, gone into hiding. Broadway Michael, where's his girly bicycle? I know we could get Joe, not Biden, he's in hiding. But Joe won't go, golf court too slow. Who do we trust in these unprecedented times? Natalie for president, that vote is mine.
Oh,
all
right.
Wow.
Well, thank you. Hey, I didn't make the t-shirt, but I got a vote.
That's good. Whoa.
That was
all
pretty
right,
good.
Joe,
right.
I think you may get all of the t-shirts this morning.
Hang on. Don't go anywhere, Joe.
Terrific.
Susan in Rego Park. What do you got, Sue?
Yes, good morning. I have it nice and simple. Michael and Len, 2020, make radio great again.
Well, okay, we'll take
thanks,
that.
Sue. All right. We
stay
like that.
Stay on the line. How about Vince in Fort Pierce, Florida? Good morning, Vince.
All right, I had to flip the name. So it starts off, Riedelin Berman won't give you a sermon.
Well, that's not true. Have you been listening to the show, Vince? That's all Riedel does.
I'm being nice. I'm being
you
nice.
Are, Vince.
Well, most politicians don't tell the truth anyway, so why not?
That's true. Ah, good one, Vince.
True.
All right.
That's true.
How about
right.
Carl
How about-
in Northport? What do you got, Carl?
Good morning. I'm just going to add to the rhymes here, but this one's mine. Shout like Merman, thread the needle, vote for Berman and for Riedel.
Well, it's not bad, Carl.
Okay.
Actually, Carl,
okay.
you sound like you're in the demographic that advertisers want. How old are you? You sound a little bit younger than
22.
22?
Oh,
we
my
love
God.
You,
you,
Carl.
Win. You win. Carl, you win.
No.
You automatically win the T-shirt.
Not yet.
All right.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, Carl. All right, so here's what I got. This is from Becky. This is an email.
Okay.
Berman and Riedel 2020. One cares about a book. The other cares about a crook.
It's not oh, <great. laughs>
that is good.
Becky's in the running there, I got to say. Becky is in the running. So,
all right, let me see what I got here. Jay emailed me the super lib and the super glib. Let's see what else I got
That's
here.
Good. That's good. That's good.
I've got Mark who says, this is pretty good. Berman Riedel 2020, Natalie and Joe never sounded so good.
Yeah. Oh my God, we have a lot here. Oh God, we've got
a lot. Got to make some choices. What you got? Any more?
Bored with the same old AM talk on the air. Listen to the oddest pair, Berman and Riedel. It's not bad.
That's okay.
That's pretty good.
All right, I think we got to pick some winners. What do you got?
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, we got to go. We got to go with Joe and Flagstaff. I mean, that poem was absolutely sensational. We're going with him. And I'm going to go
great,
with... yeah. And I'm going to go with Carl in Northport because
he's young.
He's in the coveted demographic. So.
All right. I'm going to throw one in here for Mark here because I thought that was very cute that his slogan was that Joe and Natalie never sounded so good. So there's your third winner.
We got him. We had a lot of winners today, Natalie. We could have given out 5 T-shirts or something today.
Hey, you know what?
Oh no, you'll break the budget. Oh no, you get the boss very nervous.
We have to go to the printing again and get special orders.
All right. Caller of the day though is Joe from Flagstaff, Arizona, and we'll play your poem later on in the show. Thanks, Joe. All right, time for the
news
at 8:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Michael. People from New Jersey and Connecticut being told to avoid unessential travel to New York. Both states have seen their coronavirus numbers rise to levels high enough to land on the tri-state quarantine list, but Governor Cuomo says it's not practical. He says quarantining people from New Jersey and Connecticut would also have a disastrous effect on the economy. Governor going to announce today a redrawing of those red zones. The positivity rate in those hot spots is 2.9%. It's double the rest of the state, but down where it was a couple of weeks ago. Redrawing the lines around the zones would lift some of the restrictions that have been in place. President Trump is threatening to release a video showing how fake and biased 60 Minutes is. Held a rally in Pennsylvania last night, just hours after he walked out of an interview with CBS correspondent Leslie Stoll.
You have to watch what we do to 60 Minutes. You'll get such a kick out of it. You're going to get a kick out of it. Leslie Stoll is not going to be happy.
Yeah, he already released a brief video showing Stoll not wearing a mask at the White House. But to be fair, Len, here, because we are factual when we do our news, that picture of Leslie Stoll happened just after Trump got up and walked out. And she was on her way to her personal stuff to put her mask back on.
I think the irony is lost on you that all of a sudden the president's concerned about mask wearing in the White House when he's had all of these COVID hot spreaders, no one wearing masks, including him. All of a sudden he cares about Leslie Stoll not wearing a mask. I mean, that must have been a put on. Had to be a put on.
Okay. Joe Biden says when he debates President Trump tomorrow night, he hopes the mute button works. Biden says he wants to talk to the American people about the issues that they're facing, and he doesn't want to be interrupted. Don't think he wants to talk about Hunter Biden. No, he says he hopes the debate is on issues, but he says, I'm sure Trump will bring up Hunter, but it's a garbage allegation.
The issues he's facing, he still thinks he's, you know, trying to confirm Clarence Thomas as a Supreme Court justice, for God's sake.
I don't think we know what issues we're facing here.
You guys are just...
you can hear the debate tomorrow night at 9 o'clock here on WOR. Should be a good one. Finally, how much do you know about your own car? So, Riedel, you're kind of out of this discussion, but let's see about Len.
Four tires.
Chances are you don't...
Joe, you have to ask his driver.
All right, be nice.
You got to ask Sean.
All right, be nice.
Anyway, a new study. This is interesting, though. A new study says half of all drivers can't perform even a basic check or fix things on their own. For example, popping the hood. Half the people don't even know how to do that. Get the hood up.
I don't.
Half the people,
that's,
you don't?
Me. No, I don't know how to get the hood up.
Sean, give us a call. 1-800-321-0710.
How about this? Refill windshield wiper fluid.
No.
Well, I can't get the hood open, so what am I going to do? Pour in the gas tank? What else you got, Joe?
Put air in your tires. Have you ever done that?
No, I've done that. I have done
that. You have?
Yes. Yes.
All right, good for you. Yeah, well,
put a quarter in the machine and get the air. Yep.
All right. That's most people, only 3 in 10 can't do that. But here, do you know the difference between horsepower and miles per hour?
Well, yeah, of course I do.
What is it?
Horsepower is power and miles per hour is distance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know how many miles per gallon you get for your car?
No idea. Okay. None.
Scored well on this one, man. By the way.
Zero. But
here's another interesting fact. Let me close it out. When buying a car, the number one factor typically?
Price.
Color.
Oh,
okay.
All right, thanks, Joe Bartlett. Up next, hey, Joe is going to stick with us because he had the list of the scariest movies of all time for Halloween, and we couldn't get to it because we ran out of time, and I love scary movies. Len doesn't, but I love scary movies. So when we come back, Joe is going to be with us so I can guess the top five scariest movies of all time. That's coming up next.
During these times of heightened uncertainty, you can count on Palisade Jewelers in Englewood, New Jersey, to pay the highest value for your Rolex watch, diamonds, estate jewelry, and gold. Gold is trading at or near all-time highs every day, and the folks at Palisade consistently offer the best prices in a secure, comfortable environment. With over 70 years' experience, Palisade has an outstanding reputation for courteous, confidential service. Call 201-871-0400 to speak to an owner. Palisade Jewelers wants to buy your fine watch, Rolex, Patek Philippe, Cartier, estate jewelry, signed and unsigned, and any size diamond. Now is the time to get the highest value for your valuables. If you need a, if you have a need for quick cash and don't want to sell, Palisade will make you a loan. Palisade Jewelers is a state-licensed and regulated pawnbroker. Learn the details at PalisadeJewelers.com. Call 201-871-0400 or visit Palisade Jewelers just 4 minutes from the George Washington Bridge, where you get the right price to buy, sell, trade, and pawn. All right, Michael loves scary movies, so in a minute, Joe Barlow had a story in the news, but we ran out of time about what are the scariest movies. This is based on what were they taking, pulse or blood pressure, or they were taking some readings, and based on the medical readings, Joe, is that the deal that these are scary movies?
Yeah, they track the heart rate of people watching the movie.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh. All right. Ooh. We'll get to that in a second. First, I wanted to mention Pat Robertson. You know him, the televangelist.
Yeah.
He says, and I think you find this interesting, that Trump is going to win re-election. And then the, before you get too excited, then he said, then the asteroid's going to hit the Earth. So, hey, you know, you win some, you lose some. Anyway, here's a little bit of Pat Robertson.
There's going to be a war. Ezekiel 38 is going to be the next thing down the line. Then a time of peace. Then maybe the end. But nobody knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. He said the angels don't know it. And only the Father knows it.
So he said Trump's going to win. Then comes civil disobedience and then the asteroid.
The next thing is the election that's coming up in just a few weeks, at which time, according to what I believe the Lord told me, the president is going to be reelected. I'm saying by all means, get out and vote for whoever you want to vote for, but by all means, let your voice be heard. But it's going to lead to civil unrest of a great proportion, then a war against Israel and so forth and so on.
And of course, the Lord told him this, so he has direct information.
And Paul said, sudden destruction is going to come upon you. And what I think, very frankly, is that the only thing that will fulfill what the word of Jesus that I'm going to give you in a minute is some kind of an asteroid strike on the globe. It's, you know, sudden destruction. There's not going to be some nuclear war. We're not going to be allowed to blow this earth up.
All right, so Trump wins and then the asteroid. So now,
can I ask you, Len? But Len, you're playing that right to kind of sort of mockingly cast Christians in a bad light, right? That's why you wanted to do the story, didn't you?
Is
that,
no.
Joe?
If that was a rabbi saying that, I would have played the same audio, okay? Yeah. So you're absolutely dead wrong. So there you go. All right, your scary movies, because, Joe.
He doesn't want to deal with this topic. He played that.
I dealt with it. It has nothing to do with the fact that he's Christian. It has to do with the fact that I find it interesting. He got a direct message from the Lord, and that first Trump wins, and then the world gets destroyed by an asteroid.
There you go.
You don't find that interesting?
Maybe he heard from God. Maybe he heard from
maybe
God.
He did.
But you played
maybe
that, Len, with a...
I didn't say he didn't.
You played that mockingly. Come on. We know what you're up to. Please. All right. Let's move along. Okay. Horror movies.
Okay. Yes, science has found the scariest movies of all time. This is called the Science of Scare Project. They track the heart rates of 50 people as they watch various scary movies. Now, I have a list of the top 10. I would suspect, Michael, you probably have not seen any more than two of these things.
Hmm. Oh, all right. Okay. Well,
give me a scary movie.
All right. I have to say, I mean, do we have the theme there, Len, from Halloween?
Nope.
What?
No.
Not on the list.
That's not it.
Okay. How can Halloween not? I mean, that is one of the scariest movies of all time.
Well, these must be scarier. These are scarier. You haven't seen the scary ones.
All right. How about, here's a movie. This is a Thai movie.
The answer is no.
No, this is a movie from Thailand. I'm just going to set it up. It's called Shudder, and it's about a photographer, okay?
Not on the list.
And what he...
It's not there.
Well, let me just tell you.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you what happens in this movie in the beginning. So this guy's a photographer, and he's taking pictures of a graduation at a college. And as he's looking through his camera, he suddenly sees a face among all the college graduates. And then he looks up from the camera, and the face is no longer there. And then when he develops the picture, the face is there, but in profile, and as he's developing...
It's not scary. He's got to raise heartbeats, Michael. He's got to raise heartbeats.
The girl's face turns around and looks right
at him. Okay, real quickly. The study found...
Saw.
All of those ones that you're talking about did not raise heartbeats. All of them.
How about Psycho?
Exorcist, all of them. Nope. I'm going to give you the top five. Number five, Paranormal Activity. Number four, Hereditary. The Conjuring. Number two is Insidious, and the number one movie, Sinister. People's heart rate 32% higher than their resting heart rate when they were watching Sinister.
Where's Silence of the Lambs? Is that in the top 10?
It didn't scare people. It didn't raise their heartbeats.
How about The Exorcist?
No. This was judged. They found modern horror movies maybe were better classics, but they did not raise the heartbeats as much as the modern ones. Probably because they have better graphics.
That's a total dud segment. No one's heartbeat is raising up here with this one.
This was your idea, Regal. You take the credit for it. You say, let's not do what we were going to do at 8:40. Let's do the horror movies. This is great because I'm going to guess them all. Good job, Mikey. Coming up next.
We're going to have a meeting today.
I hope so. I hope so. It's all your fault. Up next, Joe Biden reacts to the allegations against his son. And at 9:05, Tony nominee Daniel J. Watts will join us.
Hey, we created iHeartRadio so you can put us in your pocket and take us everywhere you go, your favorite station, music, podcasts, and more for free whenever, wherever you want them. And now in your home, listening to your favorite station is as easy as asking Alexa or Google to play the station you want to hear or streaming on Sonos, Roku, and hundreds of other platforms. All right, we've got the big debate tomorrow night between Joe Biden and our president, Donald J. Trump. And Biden has not been seen... I guess for the last 48 hours, because he's, you know, in the basement preparing for the big debate. Of course, the president is out there doing rallies, trying to excite the country again, trying to say once we get past this pandemic, we got to open things up. We've got to have a rip-roaring economy. But no, old fuddy-duddy old Joe Biden, he's having a little bit of Jell-O, a little tapioca pudding in his basement as he prepares for the big debate tomorrow night. So anyway, the only question, Len, that the mainstream media has asked Joe Biden, and by the way, they don't ask about Hunter Biden, his son, who is running around the world scooping up gobs of money, right? And if these emails that the New York Post has published are true, and I think they are because no one's really refuted them, Joe Biden himself has profited from allowing his son to run around collecting gobs of money from God knows who out there in Russia and China and Ukraine. But no, the mainstream media, no, we're not going to talk about that. Got to talk about Trump's taxes. That's what we got to talk about, because we have to destroy Trump and make sure that Joe, the sainted Joe Biden, is our next president, even though he's got a crook for a son. Unbelievable. In any case, so the only question the mainstream media has asked Joe Biden recently is when he went out to get some ice cream, because, you know, you can't eat hard food when you're his age. What flavor, Mr. Biden? I mean, Bartlett, come
he
on.
Answered.
Am I wrong?
He answered.
Am I wrong on this?
You say he dodges all the questions. He answered.
Am I wrong?
One scoop vanilla, one scoop chocolate.
By the way, Len, I know we may be able to dodge this question, but if Biden gets elected, the Hunter Biden questions do not go away. He will, at some point, be called to answer on this in detail.
No, here's what's going to
You know what? You keep saying that, and I say, fine. If he did something wrong, if he broke a law, charge him. You're not going to get an argument from me. So Joe Biden, while supposedly was hiding, he did give an interview with a Wisconsin station and talked about the personal attacks he receives from the
president. I hope he's going to come prepared to talk about what he's for. But my guess is he's kind of signaling that it's all going to be about personal attacks, and because he doesn't want to talk about why he's taking away health care at the very time we're in the middle of a pandemic.
And also, Biden was asked about the mute button that'll be used in the debate tomorrow night.
I'm going to try very hard to focus on the issues that affect the American people and talk to them. And I hope they keep the rule that uninterrupted 2 minutes answer.
And he was asked about his son, Hunter, and here's what he told the radio station.
This is the same garbage Rudy Giuliani, Trump's henchman, It's a last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family.
So he called it garbage. So I'm sure Len, Trump's going to bring it up tomorrow night.
Len, can I ask you something? Has anyone refuted anything that the Post has published about Hunter Biden running around the world collecting money? Who was he collecting money for? You think Joe Biden did not know what his son was doing? Can you refute that, Len?
I'm going to repeat this, Michael. If they broke the law, charge them. Very simple. Same crap with Hillary 4 years ago. Lock her up. And as soon as the election's over, Hillary who? I mean, come on. It's like the caravan coming to the border. Oh, what a national emergency. And as soon as it doesn't need the argument, what caravan?
Exploding.
And this is all just part of a game plan he's trying again from 2016. Well, good luck. And again, if he did something wrong, charge him.
Here's the thing, okay? The Clintons broke many laws. I have no doubt about that. And I'm sure Joe Biden and his son have broken many laws. But they are protected by the mainstream media, okay? They are protected.
The media.
And as long as they're protected by the mainstream media, there will never be a proper investigation. The mainstream media, though, wants to investigate every single thing that Donald Trump has done in his life. And if he loses this election, the mainstream media is going to be out there saying, lock him up. Jail him, investigate everything, destroy him. Because, listen, folks, if you support Trump, the mainstream media and the Democrats, when they're in power, they are coming after you. They're going to take away your guns. They're going to curtail your freedoms because they see you as the enemy of this country. That's what's going to happen.
They're not taking any guns away. You sound like Trump now. They're not taking any guns away. Hey, quickly, before we go to the news, I got a good question for you. The most Googled phobia in the country. What do you think the most Googled phobia is?
Democrats in power.
That's it. Also, no, it was, it's the fear of other people. That was number one. But you know what the number one most searched fear and was in New York? This is right up your alley.
Bike riders.
No, close. Philophobia. You know what that is?
What is philophobia?
It's the fear of falling in love or intimacy. That's the number one searched phobia in the state of New York.
No way.
How many times did you Google that, Michael?
I've been suffering from that for 9 years, I have to say.
In New Jersey, a fear of the dark. And listen to this, in California, number one phobia, having no cell phone.
Oh, I feel that fear.
That's kind of fun.
They're calling that nomophobia.
I've got the ringophobia right now, actually. That ring has been sitting here for a long time, and I can't even look at it. So there we go. Up next, Daniel J. Watts, terrific Broadway actor. He's been nominated for a Tony Award for his performance as Ike Turner in the Tina Turner musical. But there's no Broadway, so we'll find out what a Tony nominee does when he can't work. That's coming up next. Now let's get the news. It is 9 o'clock.